message, so I'm kind of giving you a warning for Sunday morning that two messages could be one message. So either eat a big breakfast or put a lot on in the crock pot for when you get home. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 25, but before we get started, God's given me a couple of extra things to say. I was thinking during that last song, the song is absolutely true no matter how you feel. So I just wanted you to know that one. I was sitting there kind of worshiping and talking to the Lord, and He is going to light up every dark place. He will run up every hill. He will come after you. He does love you, even when you don't feel like He does. So you need to remind that every once in a while. You'll say all those things and worship them on the screen, but you don't realize when you're in your darkest place, sometimes you'll get there and you'll think, He's not coming. He will not make this dark place brighter than it is, and He will. So just wait. Just wait. Then I was reminded earlier, and this is good for a Wednesday night crowd. I know it's kind of scattered, but there's a lot of good stuff in this. God says you're going to give an account for your life. Guys, when you're sitting here tonight, I want you to understand you're not going to give an excuse. You're not going to give an explanation. We're going to give an account. So when you stand before God, you're going to have to give an account for this life. You don't get to give this happened or that happened. God's given you, He's given you life, and hopefully He's given you eternal life, and there's some gifts and talents that are mixed in there. And He wants you to use those and multiply them while you live here on this earth. And when you stand before Him, He's not going to listen for anything other than, here's what I did with it. Here's what I did with it. Okay? So I want you to hear that. Then the next one is a really good one. I got this last night from a really good friend of mine. If you want to use it, you're more than welcome to. This pastor was traveling, and he stayed at a revival. They put him up in a house, but they put him in a farmhouse, and every night they would go. And well, the first night he went over and he ate dinner with the family, and the pastor looked at him and said, "Would you like to say grace?" And the farmer said, "I would love to." And the farmer starts praying, and this is where it gets kind of different, because there were a few deacons and some people from the church, and the farmer there and the farmer's family. He had a big family. And he said, "Let's bow our heads." And the first part of the prayer, Charlie, went like this. He said, "Dear Lord, I hate buttermilk." And the preacher's kind of like, he wanted to lift his eyes and he wanted to look at him like, what's wrong with this guy? You know what I mean? I wish I'd have prayed for the meal. And then a few seconds goes by and he didn't say anything. It's just a slow pause of like, "God, I hate buttermilk." Now, I can relate to that because I do too. And then he said, "God, I hate lard." The pastor looks and kind of opens one of his eyes and looks at him like, what's wrong with this guy? Then he notices a few other people at the table had one eye on him like, So he closes back his eye and he's going, "All right, maybe he's do better." And he goes, "God, I hate white flour. One time I got it in my mouth thinking it was something else. I hate it." He's like, "Man, there's what is wrong with this guy?" And his last thing was, "God, I love biscuits." He said, "When you mix up buttermilk, lard, and flour and mix it up real good, it makes a really good biscuit. God, there's a lot of things that I don't like about this life. There's a lot of things that's been happening to me that I don't understand. But once you mix them up, and I know when you get them finished, I bet they'll be even better than the biscuits that I love. God, you're a good God. And you're taking all the things and working them to my good." It's a good prayer. We can learn a lot from it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. I hope this message helps you. It's helped me throughout the day. And I'm going to go ahead and warn you, I look at everything through a kind of a sports lens. So maybe it'll have a leaning towards a sports idea. And if you don't play sports, I apologize. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Some of y'all need to look at your neighbor, the person right next to you, and say, thank God. What I mean by that is he didn't come to the most popular and the most powerful and the smartest people in the world. God revealed himself unto the lowest of the low. Amen. And I am one of those. God comes and reveals himself to the people that nobody would ever expect. Amen. We'll be, one day when we cross into heaven, we're standing there, some people are going to be pointing at you, and they're going to be saying something like, I never would imagine them being here. You say, yeah, I know, me neither. Right? But aren't you glad that's so? Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me, O my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Aren't you glad that God has revealed himself to you? That way you can know the Father. Amen. You have never met God, but you met God through Jesus Christ. Amen. God has introduced himself to you through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the expressed image of God, who one day expressed himself by the Holy Spirit to you, drew you unto himself, and you called unto his name for salvation. Aren't you glad God loved you enough not to give up on you? That's grace. We are saved by grace and not by works, lest any man should boast. We'll stand before God one day and we will not say, look what I've done, and look what this is I've done, and this is what I've not done. We'll look and say, look what God done for me and that he died for me on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for letting me come to a place in my life, wherever it was, at a high point or a low point or somewhere in between, that I seen who Jesus was and I was able to relent my life or relinquish control of my life and ask him to be my Savior. Praise God, that's so good. I want to give you a place right now in the Bible that's much needed for me right now, and I'm hopefully knowing by way of the Holy Spirit that it is needed for you. In verse 28 it says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want you to know this tonight, that is an invite for the first time and the 1,000,000th time. You can shout there. Golly, I wish we would sometimes. Because I was glad the first time God made the offer to a person that was laden and tired and weary and carrying too much weight. I'm glad I came to him the very first time, but now I'm glad I can come back to him every single time. When life gets heavy and life gets hard, I don't have to wonder if God wants me to come to him. Because he has left an open invitation that says, come unto me, my God, my God. As a child of God, I'm glad we have that access. I'm glad we have a God who says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Whew. You can come as a limitless time, but I was thinking about that labor at first. Come unto me, you that are heavy laden. Amen. The ones that are under labor. When you are in labor, when you're carrying something so heavy, you begin to struggle, and you can't seem to make a breath. You can't seem to look up. You can see it on your face. You can't seem to make the next step. It seems like you don't know which way to go or which way to come. You look for help and you don't know if it's coming. You're listening for a voice and you hear something on a constant that says, quit, give up, stop, don't do this. You can't make it. It's too heavy. It's too much. I've heard that so many times in my walk with the Lord. I've heard it. I've heard my flesh. I've heard the enemy. I've heard the world. I've heard people say, you need to give up. You need to quit. You need to let in. And all of a sudden, I love that there is a rest for people like that. There is a, what I like to say, there is a coach. Amen. There is someone, there is a God, there's a Jesus that looks at us and says, come over here and sit down next to me. Amen. I was thinking, when I said I'd tie this into sports, I was thinking when I played sports in high school, I never wanted to come out. I never wanted to come out. Never did. I wanted to play every minute of the game. But I had a smart coach. Amen? Because sometimes I would get angry. I'd get frustrated. I'd have an off night. I'd get tired and do dumb stuff. And I would have him, and he would say, come over here, and you sit down. And sometimes he wouldn't even look at me. He'd make me go sit down at the end of the bench. And I would sit there and think, man, I want to get back in the game. But I did not realize when I went over there to sit on the bench, I got some rest. My legs began to get strengthened. God is not usually setting you out of the game of spirituality. He's not sitting on the sideline to say, sit here forever. He's giving you rest in the storms of life and saying, I want you to strengthen your legs where you can get back in the game and play at the level that I need you to play at. And sometimes when you get so tired, you lose focus of what the game plan is and who you're even playing against. And sometimes you just need to come and get a different perspective. Aren't you glad that God will allow you to get in a place where you can see yourself, the team, the enemy, and see what the coach is trying to get done? Man, I was so glad of that. And you can, if you're willing, you can get some teaching and some coaching. Amen? Do this. Don't do what you've been doing. Amen? When you go back in, do this, this, and this. Some of y'all can relate to that. You know what I'm talking about. Man, that rest. We don't like it, but we love it. I got to thinking about it. As I started studying and thinking about this, do you know in the NBA... In the NBA, I was thinking about you got the greatest player of all time was Michael Jordan. Not even arguable. If you don't believe that, you don't belong to church here. I'm just kidding. We took it too far. You got Steph Curry. You got, who's another great player? Giannis. Larry Bird. I'm glad you brought that up. That's my era. Magic Johnson, all the great players. And LeBron James. All right, and he's in there too. But I noticed something about these. You know what happens? There are certain times in the game. Listen, I'm preaching better than you're letting on right here. There are certain times in the game that even, no matter what, it's called scheduled rest. Scheduled rest. I mean, these guys, there's a time in the game, whether they're winning, whether they're losing, whether they're on track or off track, they come out of the game. And I'm sitting there going, why? What are they doing? They need him in the game. And you know what they've done? They've got these things called analytics. And they've studied it out, and they're sitting there looking at it, and they're going, it's better if they can come over here and get a rest. By the end of the game, we have a higher chance of winning and finishing the game well and having a better record at the end of this game and at the end of this year, and we'll have a chance at winning a championship if we can rest our players for these amounts of times scheduled. Whew. God knows when to take you and let you have rest. God calls to you. God calls to me. You're doing too much. Amen. Listen, let's go back and look at these scriptures. I want you to get this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want you to get this. He's looking and he's saying, look, you need to know that there is a time when you need to come to me and ask me to unload your weights, unload your burden, give you some rest to yourself. Too many times as Christians, we are carrying the things that God has taken away from us. We are carrying things that we were never meant to carry. God says in His Word, if it's heavy, it's not yours. Amen? If it's hard, it's not yours. If it seems like, I can't do this, God's saying, I can help you. Man, it seems like God is screaming in my ear a lot of times. I'm going to Him in prayer, and I'm saying, God, this, this, and this. And you know what He's saying? Kevin, that's our job, not your job. That's me and you. You bring that to me, and you let me do it. You're trying to do it, and then you're coming to me and asking me to just be involved instead of me carrying it. Sometimes we're asking God to get involved in something that He's supposed to be doing, and we're not even supposed to be a part of it. Amen? Sometimes we're asking God, you do this, and I'll do this, and you do this, and I'll do that. And God said, I said, you come unto me, and I take that weight off you, and I stop that work or that grind that you're on you're not supposed to be, and I put my yoke on you, and it gets easy and light. I hate to tell you this. We do it all the time. We tell people, I gave it to God. And you didn't give it to God. You carry it with you still. You told God about it. You got emotional about it, but you didn't give it to God. Because if you gave it to God, it would have got lighter and it would have got easier and easier and easier because God is not a liar and His Word's true. Amen? And then I start thinking about it. Boy, in a basketball term again, I look at verse 29 and I say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Have you ever been on a team of any kind and you weren't the best player? I mean, like you had the best player, like what we'd call the star or the MVP. Well, our MVP is Jesus. Amen? And he's the one on the team that when you look at him and you compare yourself to him, you got no excuses. Amen? You can't say, well, God seems like He wants me to forgive everybody, and I just don't know if I can do that. Wait a minute, y'all getting the same frame of mind with me right here? Then you look over at your very best player, and it's Jesus, and He's going, on the cross, Morris Dale's dying, beaten beyond recognition. I just forgave everybody, including you. Right? Well, I don't think I can just love everybody because loving everybody means I don't do it. And I don't know, and all that. And we get all these little things, and God said, well, you know what I did? I just forgave everybody at the cross and loved them all and gave everybody an opportunity to be saved. Whew. All right. Well, that's you, but I'm just asking you. When you do your comparison, stop comparing yourself to everybody else. Start looking at Jesus. He's our MVP. He's our star. Amen? We lift Him up, okay? We don't go to other Christians. We don't think about other people. We look to Jesus, and He says, take my yoke upon you. What He's saying is, I died on the cross. I can give you peace. I can take off what you're and put on my yoke. Man, a lot of times I'm not carrying His yoke. Amen? I'm not yoked up with Jesus at all. I'm over here struggling and fighting and kicking and fussing and wrestling. And Jesus says, that's not mine. I love this right here. And He says, learn of me. Learn of me. Study me. We do Bible studies all the time. We never understand the character of Christ. We never get close to Jesus. Can I tell you something? How many of y'all want to have a better 2023 than you had 2022? How many of y'all want to have a better life than you had in 2022? You know what to do? Get closer to Jesus. I'm serious. I know it sounds corny and cliche, but it's hard to mess up when you're close to Jesus. The more you're reading, the more you're loving, the more you're studying, the more you are talking to Him, it's hard to get caught up in the world when you're a half foot away from Jesus. But if you're so far away from Him, it's easy. When you only have access to Him a couple of hours a week in church, it's easy. Amen? I love this word right here. He says, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Do you know what meek is? It's power, but it's under control. I use this analogy here before. I just like it so much. Used to, back in the day, they had at the circus, they had a lion tamer. Amen? They don't do that at the circus anymore, so we don't go to the circus anymore. Okay? But used to, near the end of the thing, they would run all these tigers and lions into this circular cage, and there would be one guy who went in the middle of the cage, and he would have a chair and a whip. And he would be surrounded by Bengal tigers and lions. And these things are awesome. I mean, they're hanging off the edge of these little bitty platforms, and they're just, but you can see all their muscles and their teeth, and they're roaring, and they ain't happy. And these, I mean, they're looking at this guy like, we would kill you. And he's going, y'all know the deal. Back Simba, you know, with a little whip, you know, in a chair. And you're going, man, everybody in the circus is going, man, they're going to kill that guy. But you know what they don't? Because they're trained not to. They've taken all that muscle and all that power and all that strength and all that killing ability, and they put it under control. So everybody can sit up in the stands, look down on that platform, and go, man, that's some real power under real control. You know what God said? I stood and hung on a cross between heaven and earth to save the whole world, and I could have destroyed the whole world. That's power under control. Amen? So you know what God says? I can give you power to control you if you allow me to. Can't control my anger. Can't control my attitude. Can't control my emotions. Can't control my desires. Can't control my temptations. Can't control how I'm acting. Praise God. If you would get his yoke and put it on, praise God, you can get under the power of God and put some things under control in your life that you never thought could be under control. Amen? There are things that are under control in my life up till I was 30 years old. Never had one way of controlling it. And I'm dumb today because sometimes I'll think, man, I wish I could get that under control. And God's sitting there going, hey, step one, come unto me. Take that one off and put mine on. It's that simple, guys. We make it complicated. Well, that's too small for God. There's no small things for God. Can I give you a deal on that too? Let me give you this. It's the small foxes that destroy the vine. Amen. Y'all know this from any part of your life. The devil doesn't show up one day at your house at the front door with a red suit, a pitchfork, and some horns. He don't knock on the door and say, hey, let me in. It says he comes in any climb or place. He says, do you know what that is literally? If you give the devil a place, you know what that really comes down to? I just talked to this a couple of weeks ago. You know what that is? That's a mountain climbing deal. Did you know that? That's a mountain climbing technique, place. That means if I can get my fingers, ain't this right, Keith and Rebecca, if I can just get my fingers on something, I'll pull my whole body. I'll pull my whole self into that. All the devil wants you to do is just give me a little spot. Let me have this, and I'll take that. Give me that. Next thing you know, he's all the way in there. Amen? That's what the Lord's saying. If you want control over something, give me everything. Give me access to everything. I surrender all. First song, right? Now that it's coming back to me. First song. Take my yoke. I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest under your soul. Real rest. Amen? Real rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Guys, life gets hard. Life gets heavy. And some things just ain't easy until you come to Jesus with it. Amen? Until you come to Jesus with it. And we need to learn to come to him with everything. We came to him for salvation. But we need to come with all the things. Amen? All the things. Anxiety, fear, depression, anger, pride, how we live our lives from day to day, how preoccupied we get, how far away from God we get, how far away from God's plan we get. My yoke is easy. We wonder a lot of times, why is life getting so hard? Why is this so hard? Because we haven't let God take over. Have you ever done this? Have you ever, I know we're doing this with this building over here. Praise God, some things, man, God, make it so simple, make it so easy, make it so clear. Hey, sometimes, man, we're sitting there, we're saying, God, send me a sign. That I'm. And man, there's one writer to stop, don't, quit, right? God's easy. Every time I really get surrendered to God and say, God, if this is your will, you make it easy. My goodness, I got people calling me. I want to do this, 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 and this, and I want you to do this, 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 and this. And I'm sitting there going, oh, okay. When it's me, I have to make all the calls. I have to run around. I have to make the connection. I have to wrestle this guy and wrestle that person and get them here and there. And next thing you know, I'm sitting there going, man, God, what's going on with this? That ain't you. That ain't me. That's you. I'm going to read this whole verse to you again, this whole three verses to you again, because I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know where you're at in your situation tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I hope you're saved. But let's all stand. That's where we're going to close. We're not going to sing a song, but I'm going to read this verse to you one more time. And I don't care. You can come to the altar if you want to, if God speaks to you, or somewhere tonight. Maybe you make a prayer to God and say, God, help me. Help me take off this burden and stop working myself to death and let me take on your yoke and your burden. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If things have gotten heavy and things have gotten hard, you might want to ask Jesus, God, will you please remove the burden? And will you please give me some rest to my soul? And I will stay in your will. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that there be somebody in this room who are saying, God, I can't show it. I can't say it out loud. But God, I am carrying a heavy burden and I am struggling with everything. But God, right now, I ask you for that rest. I ask you for that help. I ask you for that yoke. God, I pray that you'd give rest to the souls of the people in this room. There might be somebody sitting here right now tonight who is hurting so bad in such a way that they don't even know where to turn. God, I pray right now that you'd give them that rest they need. Clear up their eyes, clear up their hearts, clear up their minds, strengthen their legs, give them their breath back, give them their mind back. Let them see clearly who you are and where you're at and what you're doing. Lord, I love you and I thank you for a Wednesday night meeting. Thank you for these verses that mean so much to us in a time where we're hurting so bad. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Come back.